How many know that the Lord is with us right here and right now?
Amen.
We're not climbing up some kind of ladder to get to heaven, because heaven is here and heaven is in your heart. If you have Christ in you, you have heaven in you. You're already connected. As a matter of fact, it says we've been raised up together with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. That's where we are, in Him. So it's not something that we're not trying to reach a God who's away out there somewhere. Are you with me? We're not trying to climb up into heaven. When you worship, when you know that you're worshiping in spirit, one with Him now, one in Messiah, one in the olive tree, one in Christ now here. Has He come? Are you not the temple of the Holy Spirit? And we meet with God in our hearts. And we exalt Him to the highest place in our hearts. Lord, we pray You be glorified. Be magnified, be lifted high. Hallelujah. For all the world to see, we want to see You. We want to make You known, Lord, in the earth. We know that God wants us to go beyond just receiving to giving. We receive so that we can give. And if you're faithful to give what you receive, then He will entrust you with more. We don't want to go beyond the purpose of God for us either. We don't want to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We need to think soberly, as God has given to each one of us a measure of His grace, that we could function as a body. Amen? Hallelujah. So, are we not blessed and highly favored? It really helps me to remember that how much Jesus loves me. And it doesn't matter what happens in this world, in this life. Nothing happens to me apart from my Father's will, apart from Him knowing all about it. I mean, no, God isn't taken by surprise about what you're going through right now even. Oh, He's bigger than that. Jesus said, no one is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. If you're a child of God, you're right there in the palm of His hand. I mean, I know that God can take care of what He has in His hand. Amen? When we come to Christ, when one truly turns to the Lord, the veil is removed in our hearts. There's a breaking through. The light of Christ begins to shine into our hearts. And amazing things happen. And what God does is when we turn to Christ and we receive Jesus Christ, He sets us free from sin. He sets us free from sin. We're not sinless, but we are set free from sin. Because if a person says, I have no sin, they're deceiving themselves. But He says that we are set free from sin. And our responsibility, our part of this, because Jesus already dealt with the sin problem, our responsibility is to take control of ourselves and our actions and what we allow our bodies to do. Are you with me? Your body is your servant. It's not your master. You see, if we get that reversed, we're going to be in all kinds of trouble. Sexual immorality, right? But there is a sin nature. It's kind of like a corpse that we drag around with us. Are you with me? We're a new creation in Christ, and yet there's still a sin nature. Are you with me? When you come into Christ, you're actually circumcised in your heart. You're actually separated unto Him. And so you can now live a life of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You can live a life free. I want you to hear this, free from sin. Sin is not supposed to be our master anymore. We're in Christ. The Lord is our master. And he sets me free from sin. Now, our part, I want you to hear this, is because of the finished work of Christ and of what he's already accomplished for us at the cross and how Jesus has already dealt with the sin problem. How many know he's already dealt with the sin problem? Yes. Our part is to resist sin because we don't have to yield to sin anymore. Period. You don't have to give in to your sin. So today, I want to just share with us today how to resist sin. That's the title of the message. We're no longer a slave to it. Would you agree? A few weeks ago, we talked about overcoming the slave mentality. You know, just because we come into the Lord doesn't mean that we're not dealing with a mentality that we've had for years in our lives often. Of thinking like a slave, thinking like a person who's just got to be a servant of sin. So God is beginning to unveil our eyes and reveal to us our new identity, who we are, and that we're no longer subject to that sin nature. We don't have to give in to it. By the grace of God, you can overcome sin. You and I, as a child of God, have been given authority. Because a son, right, carries authority in the home. Now, you know, if you go home, when you were a kid, you went home after school, you just went to your home and you walked through the door because that's my home. I live here. Now, you couldn't say that of your friend unless you had a relationship that was, you know, cordial enough where it's okay. Yeah, after school, you can go to my house and walk in the door anytime you want. Rarely does that happen, but it could. So, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, we can come home, amen, to the Father anytime. We don't have to stand outside and knock and beg and, can I come in? Would you let me come in? No, you don't even ask the question. You walk through the door, I'm going home. Are you with me? But if you're not of that household, then you may need to call, get an appointment, or you may need to get permission from one of the heirs to come in. So in Christ, we're sons, we're daughters. We come with confidence in what Christ the Lord has already done for us at the cross. Through his blood, we can come with confidence to our Father's house, amen, to the throne of our Father. Because we're not slaves, are you with me? But we're heirs of Christ, joint heirs with Jesus. Now, we know that as sons we have authority. How many know that God gives his people authority in Jesus' name? Over disease, over sickness, over demons. But how many know that God also gives you authority over your sinful nature? And this is what we need to learn today, is that if you don't know it already, but you need to exercise the authority that you have over your sinful nature. And understand that the body's not necessarily sin, as the Gnostics would say, but the body is subject to corruption because of the fall. And there is a part of us, a nature, that old nature, that wants to resurrect, and it wants to be spoiled, it wants to be coddled. The flesh wants to have its way. We call it the flesh. And so what we need to understand that we have already been given the authority to control your flesh. And that means your body and your mind too, right? That part of you. And so the effects of sin on our lives are devastating. Would you agree? So God doesn't want his children living in the thing that he set us free from. He wants us to walk in liberty and in freedom. How many know that when your heart is right with God, life is good in the God zone? You have life and peace in the Spirit. You're not living in fear, in condemnation, and in guilt and in shame, but you're walking in freedom. There's no condemnation to those in Christ. And so, sin in our own lives is very devastating, but I want you to hear something. It's not just because sin is devastating to us as individuals, but sin is devastating to people around us. What we do, even in secret, does affect people around us. What the church does affects society. So not only is sin devastating in our own lives, but it affects people around us and people that we're in relationship with especially. And listen to what Jesus said about this. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation from Matthew 18 and verse 6. Because he says, listen, the consequences are going to be unimaginable for the one who causes others to fall into sin. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Verse 7, what sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin. Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? You see, not only is it good for me personally to control myself and my actions and to watch my walk, if you will. But you need to understand that what I do is going to influence others around me. And what God has to say about that is not pretty. Are you with me? If my actions cause someone else to fall into sin, he says it's better than a millstone be hung around your head and you cast into the depths of the ocean. Paul said it too to the Corinthians, that we're not to lay a stumbling block before brothers and sisters. You see, my actions, amen, I'm accountable for. And we're even more accountable as Christians because God has given us His Holy Spirit. Because we are given the grace of God. That we can take control of our actions and command our sin nature to submit to the Spirit of God. You see, your sin nature, my sin nature, must be dealt with harshly. You see, in the time of Jesus, you know, there were people who had basically slaves. They were employees, but they were slaves in the fact that when the master told them to do something, there was no negotiating. It's kind of like in the military, do or die, don't question why. You just follow orders. You don't question it. However, I think I had a rebellious streak occasionally. And if the order goes against God's word, we certainly should be rebelling against it. But Jesus gave us the example. He says, if any of you have a servant, do you not first sit down and have your servant wait on you? And after the servant has done what was commanded of him, then he can sit down and eat. And so servants usually sat separately. They had their own room where they ate. And the master of the table, right, would be served. And then the servant would sit down. And then Jesus said, and what would the servant say? He would say, I am an unprofitable servant doing just what I was commanded to do. Now, I want you to take that example and I want you to look at it in this light, that your sin nature is like that servant. Your sin nature is subject to you. Isn't it interesting that we can have a dialogue with ourselves? That there's like two of us, not in a weird way, but you know, there's a part of us, you know, you've all seen the illustrations of the angel and the devil, right? But we have the Holy Spirit of God. We've been given authority as sons and daughters. We are to exercise the authority that we have and command the sin nature to come under authority and to obey the Spirit of God. And the Lord has given us everything that we have need of to do that. So there are no excuses. Well, the devil made me do it. I just can't help myself. Now listen to what happened with Cain and Abel here. Remember in Genesis 4 and verse 3? When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Genesis 4 and verse 4. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gifts, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected?" Now listen to what the Lord said in verse 7. "You will be accepted if you do what is right." Now what was the problem here? Well, there's different views of this. But I believe that Cain did not give God his best. He was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd, right? So he brought the best, it says, and made specific to the very best of his flock to give to the Lord. Cain brought some. He brought something. And when he saw that God approved of Abel's offering and rejected his, he became very angry. Now, I want you to hear this because this is prior to what followed, you know, which was Cain, finally, he rose up in a jealous rage, remember, and he killed his brother. It was the first murder recorded in Scripture. And he said, "Why are you so angry?" Verse 6. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." Now, God wouldn't have told Cain to do that unless he had the ability. Now, this is the deal, folks. All of us have failed God. All of us have sinned and fallen short, right? All of us have failed to master sin. So Jesus mastered it for us. Okay? That's what he did. He spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. Amen? He overcame the world. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Sin problem's been dealt with already. Jesus went to the cross for us. Paid the price for us because we could not, man was never able to live sinless. And so he became sin for us, and God placed upon him the sins of the world. And he dealt with the sin problem. And then he rose again on the third day, ascended to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit to the church. So that we could continue to do the works that Jesus began. He gave us His Spirit into our hearts that cries out, "Abba, Father," we become sons. So because now we are citizens of heaven, we are children of God, we have also been given the authority, are you with me, to take dominion once again on the earth. Even over, I want you to hear this, spiritual wickedness, demons, devils. God has given His church the authority to deal with them in Jesus' name. So we have received authority, but if we don't learn, I want you to hear this, to take authority over our sinful nature, then we cannot safely exercise spiritual authority over demons and disease. Are you hearing me today? The reason why people get into trouble and they get beat up by the devil is because they're not learning how to keep that sin nature crucified every day. They're not making their sin nature obey them, and yet they want to be about God's business, doing, amen, deliverance on people or whatever, healing the sick. Are you with me? God's more concerned about our character. People running around, they want power, they want to do this, they want to do that. What about your own life? Have you got control over your sin nature? Has that been your servant? Is it now under your feet? Are you with me? Paul said, I beat my body in the sense every day. I'm like an athlete, that it's in training, and I make sure that I discipline myself so that I can win the race. If an athlete does not discipline themselves, they're not going to make it. And God is saying, you've got to master sin. I've already dealt with it, and I've given you the authority now on the earth realm for you to take authority over it. You see, God's not going to do it for you. He's telling you, now you have been given the keys again. You deal with your sin. The problem is we're coddling our sin. We're like the spoiled servant who the master, you know, he says, would you go take the garbage out? And he says, nah, don't feel like it today. Oh, okay. Are you with me? What happens if that starts happening? Well, that servant's not going to respect the master, and guess who's going to be eventually ruling the house? If you don't deal with your sin nature, it's going to be like that rebellious servant that's eventually going to start controlling you. And yet you don't have to, because you have power and authority in Jesus' name. Do you know you actually need to rebuke yourself sometimes? I'm talking about that old nature, not the new you. But you've got to rebuke your sin nature. There's been times when I've been walking through the grocery line. I'm just going to be honest with you. And there's some pretty fine-looking babes up there, you know, with no clothes on, staring at me and those magazines. And that's the time when I have to say, no! Are you with me? Because, you know, guys, we can just say, well, a little look won't hurt. Oh, come on, you're flipping. You're going through the internet. You know, and all of a sudden, here comes the images. They pop up. You get a choice to make, don't you? I'm either going to tell that nature of mine that wants to look at that, no, you sit down there and shut up. Or I'm going to give into it. And you know what, folks? Sometimes the devil lies to people and says, oh, God will understand. A little gander, a little walk. And you know what? You open the door and all of a sudden it's no longer just a little glance. Now you're addicted to the thing because you open the door to the demonic. And sometimes now it's a matter of deliverance for you. And I've got some statistics here, folks, about how many, even in the church, and some of the studies that they did, are addicted to pornography. Some people are just looking for excuses, you know, to indulge their fleshly appetites. They'll make statements like, I'm only human. I couldn't help it. Everyone else is doing it. You see, sometimes, folks, even in the church, you got to watch your associations. If a brother is disorderly, don't eat with him. If he's unrepentant about it. Are you with me? Because you can very quickly, if leaven is allowed to continue in a lump of bread, it's going to just leaven the whole thing. Are you with me? And so what can happen is there can actually be a culture of sin in the church if these things are allowed to go. We'll just hang out with the brothers today. What are the brothers doing? Well, they're just doing the stuff the world does. Folks, how many know a true brother is a follower of Jesus? Because of compromise. You got to be careful who you hang out with even in the church. I'm going to say it again because sometimes, you know, you're hanging out with people who they're not really walking with Jesus. And they would certainly like to get you to kind of agree with them in that, because then they can feel better about their lifestyle. And so instead of pulling you up, they're actually pulling you down to their level. Be careful who you associate with. What we need to do is we need to prayerfully love on and speak clearly and sometimes sternly to a brother or sister who's out of order. Are you with me? Because we love them enough. If we really want to be full of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to get the garbage out. If we want to be in position for God to use us in purity, we're going to have to command and make sure that our sin nature is under control. I have witnessed a thing, and it's probably not a new thing under the sun because there's nothing new, but I've seen, especially in American culture, especially in American church culture, there is such a compromise going on today where people are living in all kinds of sin, and yet they're wanting to run around with the charismatic gifts. Are you with me? They want to go and pray for the sick and cast out devils and raise the dead, and they're out sleeping with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. Are you with me? Committing fornication and sometimes even adultery. How many know that that is not acceptable? Not for God's people. God commands everyone today, folks, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, to repent. All men everywhere are to repent today. There's no longer any, he's not winking at the weaknesses of man anymore. Why? Because sin has been dealt with and the Holy Spirit has been given. And now he commands that you will repent and you will get in order with my will and my purposes. You have been given the authority to subdue, to keep under your body, your flesh nature, so that you can live victorious. So you can enjoy the abundant life I promised you. I want you to have life. I want you to have peace. I want you to have joy. And it's only going to come because the flesh nature is not the one who's calling the shots. That servant, amen, is under your feet. Because you take the authority and you just say, nope. That's why fasting sometimes is good. It gets things back into perspective, doesn't it? They say, hey, wait a minute, who's in charge here anyways? Amen? A double-minded man is one who's just kind of like in the middle there. You know what I'm saying? He lives in the flesh, he lives in the spirit, lives in the flesh, lives in the spirit. God says, put to death the misdeeds of the body. Subdue it. 1 Corinthians 9:24, that's what Paul was talking about. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing, but I discipline my body. That means to keep under or subdue. Like an athlete, training it to do what it should. And then in Colossians 3:5, Paul said, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, that's sex outside of marriage. Uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Now listen to the Living Translation. It says, to put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a person who is greedy is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. In other words, if you're in Christ, you're no longer subject to those things. You need to put them to death. You need to take authority over those things in your life. In Romans 8:13, he said, if you live according to the flesh nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In other words, remember, your body is your servant. And then he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, part B, he said, otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And that word disqualified means cast away or rejected. In other words, he's saying, listen, I myself, Paul the Apostle said, I have to make sure that I keep my body, my sin nature under control every day, lest after I have even maybe won many people to Jesus, I myself could be cast away, disqualified for the prize. Now, there are some who believe that means you can learn, lose your eternal rewards. And there's others that mean, literally, it means to be rejected of God. Whatever it means, Paul said, I fear that if, after I have ministered to others, I myself could be rejected because I failed, are you with me, to take authority over my sin nature. You got to quit coddling that thing. You got to quit making excuses for it. You got to deal with it harshly. Jesus says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's better for you to go into life maimed than to go, right, into hellfire. How many know your nature, your sin nature, is not to rule you anymore? Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ. You see, we're given clear direction in Scripture that we are to deal with these things. We are to make sure. That's my responsibility, your responsibility as a follower of Jesus, to make sure that our sin nature is kept in check. And folks, I can't tell you any better way to do that than to pray, seek God, to worship God. Amen. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify your sin nature. Your sin nature will be choked out. It will be kept under. If you build yourself spiritually, amen, your flesh nature won't be able to rise up and tell you what to do. And it's a lot easier to tell your flesh nature no when you're walking in the Spirit than when you have allowed yourself to go and you've leaked out somewhere and now the temptations seem so much bigger and so much more powerful. You see, Jesus paid a price, the highest price, for you and for me, that we could be free from sin. He's not going to accept any excuses. Are you with me? I'm just human. Everybody else is doing it. I couldn't help myself. Oh, yes, you can. If you're a child of God, you can help yourself. You can tell that nature of yours that rebels against God, that doesn't want to pray, that doesn't want to seek God, that doesn't want to obey Him. You tell that nature of you, you sit down there and shut up. In other words, put it to death. Die to it. Starve it out. Amen? Speak to the hand, because he ain't getting to me. Instead, I'm going to feed my faith. I'm going to build myself in the Lord. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek His face, and I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I'm full of Jesus, amen, I don't have even a desire for those things. Why? Because that nature is just so crushed under the glory of God. It can't lift its head up. Choke it out. So be careful how you live, how you walk, because the day is coming when every knee is going to bow to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Every one of us is going to give an account of what we did in the body, whether it was good or evil. I know we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I want Jesus to be smiling and say, oh, I know who you are. Well done. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, how do I practically resist sin? Okay, let's say, for example, someone offends you. Has anybody ever been offended before? Maybe you're carrying an offense right now. Somebody has offended you. They stepped on your toes. They did something you didn't like. And your sin nature tells you this. He tells you, you know what? What they did to you was wrong. It was ugly. It was mean. It was not deserved. This is what your sin nature will tell you. And so you have every right to hold that against them. You have every right to not forgive them. As a matter of fact, you really should seek revenge. That's what your sin nature will tell you. How many know that's when you say, wait a minute, that's not what Jesus said? Jesus said, unless we forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. How many knows it doesn't matter what they did to you, it's what I do with it. Yeah. Folks, it's not an option. We are told, we are commanded to forgive others, just like Jesus forgave us. I'm going to give you another example. We talked about a little bit about internet porn, and there's statistics that are just, they're staggering. They're saying, one statistic said that 37% of Christian men are struggling with an addiction to porn. Not that they were just casual lookers, but they are now addicted. This is at a Promise Keepers survey. Now, most of us are aware that it's sinful to fall into what we call fantasy lust. It's fantasy lust. But remember what Jesus said? If you look upon a woman to commit adultery with her in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So sin begins in the mind. And then if it's not kept, if it's not dealt with there, at that point, it can turn into the actual sin itself, where we actually live it out. Now, how does that happen? How do so many people get addicted? Again, we're making these excuses. It's not that bad. A little look won't hurt you. Besides, listen, you can repent later and ask the Lord to forgive you. Your sin nature will tell you, it's okay. Listen to me, it's all right. God will understand. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. You just go to confession on Saturday night. Or you just, you know, after you've looked a little while and enjoyed yourself, then you can just ask God to forgive you, and He'll forgive you. How many have ever heard that voice before? How many know that yes, if you are contrite and you're serious about it and you mean business, God will forgive you? There's no sin that God won't forgive, except one. That is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's another topic. But all manner of sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. However, there are consequences. Every time we willfully sin against God, what we know is wrong, and we yield to the sin nature, there are consequences. And it's always worse. And you know, it's even for the one who got washed, the one who came, made a decision, God forgave them, and they get up. If they go back to it again, it's worse the next time. How many have discovered that? How many have ever dealt with an addiction where you had the victory over the addiction, and then you went back and you had a compromise, and now it's even worse than it was before? It's even harder to break now. See, that's what Jesus is talking about. You're giving access to the demons. Every time you willfully choose to sin against what God has revealed to you as true, the truth, we're yielding to the sin nature, which is supposed to be under our authority. God wants us walking in the freedom Jesus purchased for us at the cross. 2 Peter 1 and 2 says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. What does it say? No excuses. God has given us everything that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness. All the provision of grace, all the mercy that we need is available freely to us in Christ. There's no excuse for you and I being subject to a sin nature that has already been crucified with Christ. It just wants you to resurrect it and pay attention to it. Are you with me? There's no excuse. I have discovered in my own life that I do have the ability to say no. The devil don't make me do anything. All he's going to try to do is entice you to do what you know is wrong, because he wants to destroy you. And when he discovered that sin has consequences, right? Every time you yield, You're paying the price. How many think it's a good idea for us to learn and to take the authority that we have and say, you know, from now on, my sin nature is not going to tell me what to do. From now on, I'm going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to walk with Jesus. And when the sin nature tries to tell me not to do what God told me to do, I'm going to put it in its place. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I've discovered, folks, and I've said this before, sometimes just saying no. I just say it right out loud, no. Immediately it's gone. You know, the temptation to re-offend, the temptation, you know, to fall into that same vice, when it presents itself, that's the time you say, okay, I know what this is. You're not going to control me. I'm going to master you. And in the authority of Jesus' name, I rebuke you. And I command you to be silent in Jesus' name. Amen. I command you to go. So how many are enjoying this today? Amen. All right. I'm glad I got a response like that. I thought I was going to be like, oh. See, I'm trying to give you something practical and helpful to understand, because, you know, sometimes we know what we're supposed to do, but we don't know how do I actually go about this. So it's about identity. It's about knowing who you are in Christ, knowing the authority that God has given you. Not only has he given you authority over sickness and disease and demons, right? Even to raise the dead, but he's saying, I've given you authority over your sin nature. It is your servant. It is not to master you. You tell it to behave. Your body is like the 3-year-old, right? And your spirit is the adult with the Spirit of God, right? And your mind is a teenager. It needs to grow up and to get into agreement with what God says. The mind is being renewed. And then every day we got to tell our body, you know, body, I know you want to do this, but we're going to do what Jesus said. Because you're under my authority. God is so good. The Lord wants his people to enjoy righteousness, peace, and his joy, right? He wants us to walk in that liberty of being in freedom, walking in his freedom. So he's given us some tools. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit, that we can deal with these things and we can have a life of peace. Jesus has already paid the price for us. And we can come to him and receive mercy and find grace. So right now, if you just bow your heads and understand right now, you can just call upon your Heavenly Father and come to him today. If you're dealing with any kind of addiction or any kind of struggle in your life, I want you to seek him. I want you to call upon him. I want you to draw near to him, especially in this season. Draw near to God. He said he'll draw near to you. And ask him for mercy. Ask him right now to forgive you. If you came today with guilt or shame or condemnation, just come and lay it before Jesus today. And just confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. Just, Jesus, I'm sorry. Maybe you've been dealing with some the very same things I've been talking about. I don't know. You know. This is between you and God. If you've been struggling with pornography, you need to confess that and you need to repent of that today. God hates that. We need to hate what God hates. We need to love what he loves. See, pornography turns a person, a precious person, into a piece of meat. Someone that Jesus died for, into just an object of lust. It's dishonoring. Disrespectful. So repent today. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. Wash me in your blood. And I ask you to give me the power that I need to overcome. Help me to know who I am. Help me to recognize the authority I already have to make the sin nature my slave, that it will obey me. Help me, Lord. Grant me the grace of your Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Whatever it is today, just confess it before Jesus. Let him take it away from you. Just one more thing today. Sometimes we're like a person who is, we crack the door and we make our request known to God. We said, God, I need this. God, I need that. And then we close the door. But what we need to do is we need to open the door wide. Because most of the time, the reason why we close the door is because we don't want Jesus to see the mess. And how many know that Jesus sees the mess? So you got to open the door, you got to let him come in to deal with the mess. So just open your heart to Jesus. Let him come in, let him sweep clean, and let him fill you with his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Would you just say, Jesus, I give you permission to come into my heart, to every room, every void, sweep out all the garbage, cleanse me in your blood, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want you to be my honored guest, to take the chief seat in my house, in my heart. Jesus, I receive you, and I renounce the hidden works of darkness in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. I felt that too. Glory to God. God bless you.